Here's a little wild wisdom straight from South Africa. It's Assembly Radio's Wild Wise Women, Lumka, Robin, and Fluffy in conversation with Prem Rawat.
Monday it is. We are in a beautiful country called South Africa, even in the best city, Cape Town. And today we decided to bring you like an extraordinary treat. Extra treat. Peace ambassador, chef, hopefully for me one day. Yeah, nah, just a good side of the dish. Pilot, what else do you say about someone like this? A father figure?
Yes.
Spreading peace?
Peace ambassador, inspirational speaker.
He travels more than a rock star?
Yes.
Country to country? I feel
like himself more than most rock stars.
Dude, I feel like we should just howl for him. Just mounting, yeah, nah. Just be like, hello, welcome to Africa. Prem Rawat. Hello, 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 hello.
How?
One,
yes.
One, two. Ow, ow, ow! Prem.
Okay, that's welcome. Enough howling.
Dad, okay, got it. Prem, welcome to Wild Wise Woman Show, man. How you doing?
I am good, and thank you for having me on the show. I look forward to watching all this wild stuff happen.
Prem, you said you'd participate with us on being wild. So, this on is our the show. First time on our show. Like, you're sitting with three crazy ladies. Mm-hmm. And
wild and wise ladies. Let's wild not throw the word lady. Crazy around too much, please.
And that's right. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm here. I hope I can say something today that'll make a difference in someone's life.
Yeah.
And that's always my hope when I go out and talk about my message of peace, because it's not about, you know, all the conformity or what people think that somebody will have peace. They'll become a vegetable. They'll go on top of a mountain and never come back down. But that's not peace. That's just exactly what it is going on top of a mountain and not coming back down. Peace is something that people need to feel in their heart. Peace is something that emanates from within them. Peace is already within them, in fact. And that's where it is.
Tapping into inner peace. I love how we were also like chatty and stuff. We are so nervous to have someone of your caliber sitting right next to us. Please don't think that we have nothing to ask you or we've done like no work. We have. But like we in our heads, it's like, oh my word, oh my
you
word,
shouldn't
oh my
be.
Word, oh my word.
Yeah, but
oh my
you, shouldn't
oh my
be, you shouldn't be nervous. I'm just a normal human being. I hope I'm normal.
Yeah. I know. I don't think you normally love to agree and, to have like to sit down with us. Actually,
I think it's so strange when people, you know, say, "Oh yeah, I'll be so nervous meeting that person." I mean, where's the humanness gone?
Yeah, that's
you know, true. We're human beings. If we're nervous seeing each other, we're in trouble. You know, we should be nervous seeing a great white in the water. We should be nervous seeing a big lion coming at us.
Yeah,
I can understand that, but seeing each other. We should understand that we are all human beings and we are in the same boat.
Yeah.
We have good days, we have bad days, we do right things, we do wrong things. And that's just us. That's what we are all about, you know.
So you've never seen someone and you have all these questions that you want to ask them and then all of a sudden when you do see them, all you hear in your head is like... Grrr, 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 and you're trying to tell your body to say something and then none of the words come out. That has never happened to you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it has. I don't remember.
Okay, so for people that have never seen Prem Rawat before, it's like, it's poetry to your ears, but it's all about self and self-understanding and things like that. So for all of you that don't know, where did this journey begin of spreading the message of peace?
India, that's where I was born.
Yeah.
That's where I started. I started speaking when I was 4 years old.
You know what? Just puts pressure on every other person who has a kid. Everyone is just going to be like, you're just eating sweets.
Uh-huh. No, well, I mean, that's something I wanted to do. And I got up. There was a big gathering. My father was going to come and speak, but people were just scattered, you know, just scattered all over the place. And I felt, this is not good. You know, he's going to come and everybody's all over the place. So I got up and I sat where he sits on his chair and I started speaking. And when I did, everybody started to go, whoa, who's talking right now? You know, it sounds like a little kid. And they all wanted to come and see and they all gathered. And then I sent a message to my father. Okay, everybody's here. You want to come out and talk to them, you know? And he did. So that's when it started for me, just speaking about peace. And then I was 9 years old when he passed away. So I ended up doing what he was doing, and that was at 9. And then that really involved a lot of traveling and talking to people.
So from the age of 4, you had the gift of the gab.
I don't know a gift of the gab. I think it's just something my heart wanted to do. It just came naturally to me. Just wanted to talk about the possibility that what they're looking for is inside of them, that whatever they think their human status is, they're much better off than that, but they don't know it. They don't understand it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the believer in Superman. You know, you realize what a Superman movie would be if there was no disaster. If nobody was falling off a mountain, if nobody was drowning in the ocean, he'd just be sitting around. So we look at the disastrous situations and we somehow go into this mode of, oh yeah, if we had somebody like Superman, then he could come and save us. And we never look at ourselves as our own saviors. And there's nobody better qualified than us to save ourselves because we know our pitfalls. We know where the problems are. We know what's wrong with us and where we need to be saved.
Some of us just don't know. I've got 2 people in the room who just don't know.
Don't say that about them.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, we can hear you, Logan.
I'm joking. Have you ever, like, not known what to say? Everyone's just like silent. I'm like, Michaelis, where you at?
But this isn't like coming from my head. I hope. I really hope. I pray that I never walk on any stage behind a microphone and start talking from my head.
Yeah.
It really needs to come from my heart. You know, it really, really needs to come from my heart. Because that's my, if the message doesn't come from my heart, it's coming from my head. I'm going to be confused and I'm going to confuse a lot of people. And that's what happens. You know, there's a lot of people who get behind a microphone. They're fine talking to people. But what they end up doing is confusing people. I mean, not detangling the situation, they make it even more confusing. Because they don't, you know, the subject of peace, the subject of being human, the subject of being alive, it's something that you really have to feel inside. You have to feel it in your heart. And it's not about the head. I mean, of course, when I fly, it's all about the head, you know. But this really has to come from your heart.
Is that why at the book launch you were able to stand up without notes or anything and you just spoke?
I don't make notes. I don't write my speeches. I just come out and say what I feel like saying.
Wow. Okay, that's all about a strong DNA. Like, yeah. Now we're going to be looking at children like, yo, you 4 years old, man. Like, okay. Why do you need notes? Okay, Prem, I've always wanted to ask you this, Ned, but don't take offense to it, please. Were you ever good with the ladies? Because, like, sometimes I sit in your things and I'm like, damn. Damn, that was good. Where did that come from? It's like a left, like, punch. And you're like, now I'm thinking, hey, you know, sometimes you'll be like, baby, look into yourself. And were you that guy when, like, someone comes, when a chick comes up to you and they're like, where were you? Why didn't you? No. You're like, don't worry. Look at me. Look into my
eyes. Like, no. You can't abuse that. That's not what it's for. Are you kidding me? You know, I've had people come, people who were terribly upset. And I just, you know, there was actually one lady came up to me one time and she said, I am afraid to get in touch with myself because what if I find everything is just ugly? And I said, no, it's not. It never is. It never will be. But you can't take this gift and abuse it, you know, for your personal reasons or that's just a no-no. That's absolutely a no-no.
That's why we have all those superhero movies. 0.0%,
you've never tried it.
Not even 0.00%.
Damn, Prem. You just once.
If you are not disciplined,
yeah,
you shouldn't be doing this. You know, there are people who abuse their positions. I have seen them. I saw this when I was very young. And that was easy for me to go, you know, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I see it. I see it. Even today, there's so many people. My good fortune is I started when I was very young, and I could see how people were abusing, you know, their position. And where's the hope?
Yeah.
If those people who are saying, I am here to help you, you know, and they drill a hole in your boat, you know. And
you'll be like, fine. Just go down.
That's just wrong. That's just wrong.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
It's very interesting.
You see, Prem, for most of us in this room, our lives are so messed up. We're crazy. So your words are like words of inspiration to us. We're like, okay, tick.
Well, Prem, I think maybe let's start from the top. Tell us a little bit about why you're in SA. You designed a program called the Peace Education Program, and you're here to promote that and the book and your message. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, Robin, I would love to tell you about that, because here I am.
Jeez, it is, right?
I may as well.
It was so ghetto, and Robin was just so like, we'll get there.
Well, I've been coming to South Africa since the 70s, and it's been on and off. Because in the 70s, when I first came, you know, they didn't want me to do mixed meetings and so on and so forth. And I said, look, I'm not going to do that. You know, anybody is welcome to come. And so everybody would come. And that was against the law at that time. And I got blacklisted, so I couldn't come for quite a while to South Africa. But then situation changed and I started coming back. And I'm here to talk to people about same message. And a few years back, we started this Peace Education Program. And the Peace Education Program really started in a very simple way. It was just a way to be able to reach people who really needed help. So in fact, its beginnings were in incarceration institutions, you know, prisons or whatever you want to call them. And reaching those people, because there they were, and really not much hope. You know, every day you see the bars. There's the sunset, but there's the bars. You're in there. Some of them are there for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And it's a tough life. You know, it really, really is a tough life. So the idea wasn't to entertain them. That wasn't the idea. It wasn't like, well, the society has said you should be incarcerated and we're coming along and making sure that everything is fine for you. No, the idea was that if there isn't a fundamental change in these people, they're going to come back. Because when you look at the rate of return, it's just amazing. And so what can we do to have a profound impact in their lives so they really just get out of this rut? Because they don't want to be there, but they don't know what to do. Nobody's helping them with that. It's just the whole situation is somebody's holding a big stick, somebody's got a bigger stick. And when you look at how unfair this is, truly have to understand, and I will quote Professor Gilbert, who is one of the professors in University of Texas San Antonio. And he works with these kind of institution. He keeps an eye on them, he analyzes, and he's brilliant, brilliant. And he just said, look, these laws are being made by white-collar workers. And they are literally against everybody else down the totem pole. And so what happens? What happens is that a whole sector of society that doesn't even participate in making those laws end up with these laws that are just hurting them, and nobody cares. Nobody looks at it. And so everybody just sits there with a stick that's bigger stick and a bigger stick and a bigger stick. And nobody is even looking at the whole thing and saying, look, this doesn't work. You know, I mean, you look at your child, you send your child to school, and you look at his report card and you say, well, you know, is he passing or is he failing every single year? I mean, is it working or is it not working? But people don't look at some things like that. When you look at these laws get passed and institutions get made, and so the solution for the problem is this: make more prisons. And so the prisons get made, more prisons and more. And that's really going to solve the problem? I don't think so. You know, if your house is burning, you need to throw water at it, not more fire at it. And so how can a profound impact be made? So peace education programs started. And University of San Antonio, Texas, took notice that people who were going through this program had the least rate of return. Of all the programs that were in this one institution, the people going through the peace education program had the lowest rate of return. So that obviously, for him, it was like bing, 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 bing. All the alarm bells went off. What's going on here? What is so interesting about this program? Well, in fact, I went and I saw the inmates and I talked to them. And there was a really a profound change in people's life. And so since then, it has just been spreading. But now it's not just limited to prisons. It's veterans are going through it. Hospice are going through it. Hospitals are going through it. Police are going through it. Army. I mean, just about every facet of society is being touched by the peace education program. And people really, the most important thing, most people just really enjoy it. Just really, really enjoy it. And it is, in fact, in some of these other programs where, you know, alcoholics and drug addicts, and they're going through these programs and just really finding a change in themselves. Because we as human beings need to be empowered. If we're not empowered and we feel that there's nothing we can do. I mean, you go out there and you talk to people. You talk to people about the problems of this world. And the first thing they will tell you is, what can I do? Because nobody feels empowered. And this is a problem in our society. People should feel empowered. That, yes, whatever you do does make a difference. Whatever you do will make a difference. You know, to me, it's like a seed. You see, you're walking through a desert, right? And you see this big rock somewhere. And there's a crack in the rock. And out of that crack in the rock, there's a tree growing. It's like, whoa. You know, you feel like going up to that tree and saying, wait a minute. First, this is a desert. You shouldn't be here. Two, in the middle of a rock, what are you doing here? You know, what are you doing here? This is all wrong. And if the tree could talk, I know what the tree would say. It may be all wrong to you, but it was just right for me. I found what I needed, and the seed germinated, and here I am. And it's not a question of right and wrong. I'm here. I am here. I get the water. I got the water all those years that has allowed me to become what I am. If a seed can do that, defy the odds, why cannot human beings defy the odds? And so that's what peace education program is. It's really empowering people, empowering individuals on a very individual level, and where they participate, they talk about peace, what peace means to them, how they feel about peace, where peace is inside of them. And this has been very profound. And in fact, very surprising for me and very profound for me, because I go talk to them and it's like, wow, you are feeling a difference in your life? Great, wonderful.
Thank you, Prem.
Wow, and on that profound note, like,
you never know what to say after you've spoken. Right? Like, okay.
Going to play one of your songs. It's called New Ecstasy.
I think we're feeling a new high right now. We are. Right? We're like questioning every aspect of our life. We're like,
do you want to tell us a little bit about it just before we play it? Do you have any words, thoughts, how it came about, inspiration-wise?
Actually, I don't know which particular version that is, if that's got the words to it or it's just an instrumental.
Just the instrumental.
I wrote a song. Let's go. Here I Am in Ecstasy. Yeah. And it was just about being alive. And it's not about the drug.
I was about to say, you went to some trance party.
I'm so glad you cleared that up. But I feel like, we're feeling a new ecstasy right now with all your powerful words.
This is just the instrument, the music for it. It was something I did.
Did you co-write the song with anyone?
No, I wrote it myself. I write songs. I have a few songs I write.
Who are your parents? what is this? I stood on stage when I was 4. At 9, I started to... Like, you travel the world, you fly... No, seriously, let's talk about this. Like, can we talk about this off air?
Stay tuned to Timeless Today for part 2 of Prem Rawat in conversation with Assembly Radio's Wild Wise Women.